Thank you, Alex. How are we going, girls? Now, we are on the... We're coming into the finish line, but we are not slowing down. All right? We are coming in hard. We're coming in fast. We're going to finish big. We are not going to sleep this afternoon. All right? So if there's any... I saw a yawn up the back. Any other yawns in the room? Fight them off right now, all right? I want you to just punch in front of you, like punch, 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 punch. Come on, punch off come on. Get that power going. Get that blood pumping. There is no afternoon napping on my shift, all right? So we are full of life, we are full of bounce, and we are alive in the house this afternoon. Oh dear, we're in trouble already. Are you ready? We are alive in the house this afternoon. Yes. Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you to our beautiful musicians. Great team. God bless you guys. Giving up their Saturday, the boys in the house. We love the boys in the house. I love the men of God who help our worlds function so well and partner with us to do all that God's got for us to do. So thanks, boys. Well, to start this session, I've got a clip for us. This is one of my all-time favourite movies, Devil Wears Prada. I just love it. And anyway, so I've got a little clip from this, so let's have a look at the screens.
Where are the belts for this? Why is no one ready?
Here. It's a tough call. They're so different.
Something funny?
No, nothing's, it's just that both those belts look exactly the same to me. You know, I'm still learning about this stuff and...
This stuff? Oh, okay, I see. You think this has nothing to do with you. You go to your closet and you select, that lumpy blue sweater, for instance, because you're trying to tell the world that you take yourself too seriously to care about what you put on your back. But what you don't know is that that sweater is not just blue, it's not turquoise, it's not lapis, it's actually cerulean. And you're also blithely unaware of the fact that in 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of cerulean gowns, and then I think it was Yves Saint Laurent, wasn't it, who showed cerulean military jackets? I think we need a jacket here. And then cerulean quickly showed up in the collections of 8 different designers. And then it filtered down through the department stores and then trickled on down into some tragic casual corner where you no doubt fished it out of some clearance bin. However, that blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs. And it's sort of comical how you think that you've made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry when in fact... You're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room from a pile of stuff.
Oh. So this scene, the point of this scene is that you think you have made a choice about the colour of that jumper, but others made that choice for you. It started out with a creative thought, an adventure by someone, and with time has become a commonplace product. And what we get to be part of and what our lives look like is a result of other people's choices and decisions, and then our own choices and decisions. And our story is actually woven with these choices and decisions to make something that is 100% unique, yet feels 100% normal and common to ourselves. It's really a paradox that each of our lives is so unique, yet so normal to ourselves. The decisions and the choices that we make today will affect our future and those who come after us. And that is the theme, obviously, of today. We, as individuals, get to decide whether cerulean blue or tomato red will become the common of our future. I'm not talking about fashion. I'm talking about our lives and what our lives look like. I'm talking about the choices and the decisions that we make from day to day that impact our own lives, but also the lives of our families, our communities, our church, and ultimately our history. And we cannot ignore the power that we hold on to, the power that we are actually living history makers. The Apostle Paul actually talks about this. He tells us that we are the visible walking gospel, the outworking of a resurrected Jesus through our daily lives. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 8 to 10 in the Message says this so beautifully. I don't know if they have the Message version for us on the screen, but I will read it to you. It says, "And so here I am, preaching and writing about things..." Oh, she's running very fast. Why is she running so fast? "To get the message, it's okay, I will read it. Holly, come back, it's okay. We'll be all right. They're listening to me. They're on the ball. They're alive and with spark this afternoon. True?" That was a fast run. She's alive. She has spark. Okay, right. Are we ready? "And so here I am," says Paul, "preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task, his job, is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all things in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. So here we go, listen. Through the followers of Jesus, like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. This plan of God, we are outliving from day to day. We are the walking, talking gospel of Jesus." And Paul's job was to encourage the Christians that through their lives they would expose God's extraordinary plan for mankind. And this is still our job. Through everyday life, through ordinary family, through work, through the fun stuff we do, through the adventures we're going to have, that our story would expose Jesus and people would see God's plan for us. We are history makers. History makers are people who step over and above to see change happen. Words that would describe history makers, that would describe us in this room, would be sacrifice, perseverance, vision, commitment, challenge, discipline, focus, and passion. These are the words associated with people wanting to be a part of making history. Making history, changing what's ahead, is not always easy. It takes perseverance and hard work. Most of us would have heard of Christopher Columbus. Is there anyone in the room who's never heard of Christopher Columbus? He went down as a history maker. He went down as a very famous man. But he was not, in fact, the first person to discover America. Others had already found America. What was the difference with Christopher Columbus? He was the first one to create permanent settlements in America. He was the one that took the confidence and the faith to actually stake ground. That's why he went down in history. He left a legacy for generations because he established something. And now we live in what is permanently normal for those people. Americans live in a permanent normal. For Christopher Columbus, it was a land of adventure. Our normal was created by those who have gone before us. And what will define normal for those who are going to follow us? What will be the normal that our children grow up in? What will be the normal that our grandchildren see? I want you to think for a moment about your own upbringing, about your parent or your guardian and what they created as your normal. What was your culture? For most of those things, we will just naturally copy them. We will just do what those things were unless we find a reason to challenge them. Did you grow up eating dinner at the dinner table or in front of the TV? Because that's your normal. When Richard and I got married, he'd grown up eating dinner in front of the TV. I'd grown up eating dinner at the table. So we had to create a new normal for what our family would do and think about why our family was going to do that. We eat at the dinner table. Yeah. Maybe do you all wait when your family eats? Does everybody wait to eat together? Or as you sit down, you start serving and that's your normal. Whatever that looks like is your normal. How do you handle conflict? What did you see growing up? Was conflict yelling and screaming and fighting everywhere? Or was it open discussion and showing love and grace as you expressed your different opinions? What type of TV programs were your normal? I remember there was no Benny Hinn. Is it Benny Hill? What's his name? Not Benny Hill. There was no Benny Hinn or Belly Hill in my family growing up. But no, there were shows that were just not acceptable to be watched from our family television. Was church just a normal thing you did, or did you never go? What was your normal growing up? Was church an option? What did birthdays look like? Did birthdays have lots of presents and it was your special day? You were the VIP. I got to answer the phone. When it was whoever's birthday it was got to answer the phone all day on your birthday. I can't quite work out why that was exciting, but it was a big thing in its time. So what did birthdays look like in your family? And do you do the same thing? Are you reproducing what you saw done? How do you celebrate Christmas? Do you discuss other people's family issues at your family discussions? Or are other people's business not for discussion? What's your normal? What culture did you grow up in that you just now do without thinking? These are all decisions that are made in a family's culture. And as parents and influencers, we are responsible for the culture around us. We're responsible for what our children are going to grow up in, the morals and the values they're going to have, the Christian heritage that the next generation could have. We're responsible to speak into that and to be carriers of that. The culture that you build in your family and in your home and in your church is what affects people. We have our young adults come to our home every Sunday night. Already, this is a culture that I'm deliberately choosing to build, that they come every Sunday night and I feed them. They don't pay for it. They get free food every Sunday night. And so at the moment, there's about 40 of them, 50 of them come every Sunday night. And I feed them. We have schnitzels, mashed potato. We have simple. It's simple. I'm not doing 5-course meals, but there's food. And they come and they love it. They feel at home. They feel like they belong. I'm deliberately creating a culture. And the other day, one of the girls, she's got a beauty business and she brought a friend with her, one of her clients who was struggling with some issues in her life. And my friend had invited her to our Christmas service about Christmas. And she doesn't invite her to Christmas at any time. It's only at Christmas. So she'd invited her to come to our Christmas service. And the girl sort of didn't seem that interested. And our beautician said, oh, never mind. I've invited her. And then this girl has hit some tough roads and went to see her and said, can I hang out with you? Can you help me? So this seed that had been planted, now this girl was responding to. And so she brought her to my house on Sunday night, and the girl didn't know where she was going until she got to the front door. And she said to her, this is my pastor's house, by the way. And this poor young girl's like, oh, okay, what's a pastor? Sounds weird. And this is a lady from my church. So I'm sure she was walking in thinking, lady from your church, what's her experience been? What's her culture? What does that mean to her in her context? I don't know. But when she walked in, she was blown away. At the end of the night, she shared with her friend that she felt just so welcome. There was a peace. As she walked in, she just felt this peace come over her that she hadn't experienced before. It wasn't from anyone saying anything. It was just an atmosphere in the place, a culture in the place. She was welcome. She was embraced. The lives we live are history-making. Right there is the opportunity for somebody's life to be transformed, to be different, just because of the way we choose to live. History makers, choosing to live like that. In this Devil Wears Prada scene, it highlights the fact that this young girl is wearing her daggy, out-of-season jumper, which I think I had one almost the same myself in the 80s, and she thought that this was actually a statement of independent thinking, that she was doing her own thing. She was, in her mind, she was almost rebelling against fashion, when in fact her choice was the response to decisions and choices made by others ahead of her. Whether good or bad, she had become part of the fashion story. And when we demonstrate godliness, when we demonstrate God's plan and our transformed lives, it entices others to be part of that. When people come into contact with us and they encounter our story, they are impacted. When people walk into this church, it either affirms or it challenges their belief about God. it either says to them, maybe they've got some preconceived idea about what happens here, that church is boring or church is judgmental. But when they walk in here and they're embraced with a body of people that are warm and welcoming and it's youthful and alive, it challenges their thinking on who God is and what Christianity is all about. They filter it through all the other experiences that they've had and the other places that they've been and what they've heard about religion, and it becomes their normal. It opens doors for faith to grow, or it can slam that door shut. Who we are, how we express ourselves, and the story that we carry impacts and touches every person we connect with. And our story interweaves with their story. We have to live intentionally, allowing our story to touch and impact others so that Christ is seen, so that thread of his hope and his grace can be carried. Every interaction we have with others has an impact on our story and the stories we interact with, just like Alex has been talking about. So just like those cerulean belts cause the roll of the eyes in the clip, we can easily disregard the choices that are defining who we are, where we're going, and who will follow us on the journey. And we can forget that those choices make a difference. In that choice is the power to define your story so that it can help and bless other people or not. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says this: however, as it is written, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. There's no room for small thinking when it comes for kingdom. You've positioned yourselves here today. There is no room for small thinking. You want to be history makers? You better start to think bigger. You better start to dream bigger. You better start to imagine beyond what you could possibly imagine. Imagine more than you currently think is normal. Most of us have I think it would be possible for this to happen. God's saying to us, think again, sister. Think again, girlfriend. Think bigger. Think more. Ask God, what have you prepared for me, God, that I couldn't imagine? Maybe you don't even know God. Maybe you've never even had that conversation with him. Maybe you found yourself here today and it's just a great place. I want to challenge you. Ask God, God, what have you got for me that even I can't imagine? That even the world hasn't already suggested to me would be a great idea. Maybe it's a peaceful home. Maybe it's a husband that loves Jesus. Maybe it's an opportunity to lead, to actually influence others more specifically, to establish a successful business, to lead other women, to be speaking in public or running a small group or doing something in your community that's revolutionary, that's reaching out to people. I don't know, but God's called you to be a history maker, and he's got more for you than you could ask or imagine. Let God stretch the capacity that he's already put in you. He's already put what you could dream of inside. Let him stretch that. See if there's more. Dream bigger. Imagine more. Believe for better, that it can overflow into the lives of others. Girls, we've got to tell our story. Have we got any black belt people in the room? Black belt experts? Well, that's okay, because we don't need black belt experts. We need blue belt experts. I need you to tell your blue belt story. I need you to tell the power of what God has already done in your life. You know what, as I was preparing for today, I was thinking about my story, and I started getting a bit excited, actually, and I almost wrote a book, I think, but I'm thinking maybe I should write a book. Like, I was so excited about my story as I was going along, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is a book, this is inspirational, and now that I'm thinking in hindsight, I'm like, I don't know, actually, but anyway, I'll see if I find the time. But you know what, sometimes we don't even take time to think about our story and actually articulate it in a way that we can then communicate it to others. To take a moment to write down, you know, I was thinking about my upbringing and my teenage years, and there was some, now with the hindsight of years, I almost had some wisdom that helped me unpack some of that I've never really understood before. And just my own insecurities and things as a girl, and I just felt so ugly. I had no idea that I was just an ugly person. I was just one of those. I had really bad skin, and it wasn't until probably 10 years ago that I thought, you know what, I'm actually all right to look at. Like, wow, I just thought I was a skinny, ugly person. You know, I knew I was skinny, but that was the only thing I had. And And someone said to me before, oh, someone made a comment that you're very beautiful. I never had any idea that they would be words that would be described about me, because the story of my upbringing hadn't brought that out. Not that it's important to be beautiful, but in context, I just think, wow, you know what? That's, other people probably looked and thought I was, but I never had any understanding. And because of that, I was embarrassed and hidden. And so sometimes we need to articulate our story. We need to write it down. Because our story actually is what allows us to connect. When we share our story, it's what actually other people relate to. When you meet somebody, you're like, oh, where do you work? And suddenly, and in that story, you'll find the connection point where, wow, I relate to you. I have kids at that age, or my children are going to study that, or I've been to that university, or I worked in that field, or I was brought up by my dad on his own, or my parents left me when I was young, or whatever your story is, you will identify with other people. And it will be connection points. The struggles that you've had, the things you've walked through are actually connection points that help you reach out and weave your story into other people's. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It was their story that actually encouraged their faith. When we think about our story, when we think about where God's taken us and what he's done, that actually reminds us that God is with us, that our story, that our faith is built. Our story builds our faith. And it's important to do that. In doing some research about storytelling and the value of telling your story, I discovered this little psychological hint, psychologist's revelation of storytelling. And he actually said about the health benefits of storytelling. It says, every time you tell your story and someone else who cares bears witness to it, you turn off the body's stress responses, turning off toxic stress hormones and turning on relaxation responses that release healing hormones. It also relaxes your nervous system and helps heal your mind of depression, anxiety, fear, anger, and feelings of disconnection. Sharing your story actually helps you. It actually brings healing, because and this was my experience as I was writing my story, I'm like, oh wow, you know, I was feeling confident, I was feeling happy, I'm thinking, wow, look at me now, look how much God's been on my journey, look at the change and the growth that there's been. And I felt happy. Happiness was happening in my life at that moment. So we've got to tell our story. We've got to share our story. Be confident enough to share your story so that you can be a thread in his story, in Jesus' story. You know, I grew up in Sydney, which I mentioned to you, and I went to a school on the North Shore, but I lived out more in the west, in the rural area. So I used to travel it was a good 40-minute drive to my school. And no one from my area went to my school. I was the only person. I was the Westie. I was the country girl climbing trees. And all my friends were North Shore snobs going shopping on Saturdays. So I had this sort of world contrast happening. But I went to school with a particular girl. And after we left school, the end of year 12, she moved out to my area. So I hadn't seen her for a little while. We'd sort of been friends at school, not best buddies. And I ran into her one day in the chemist, the local chemist, when she moved to my area. I was like, wow, it's so good to see you. Like, I don't run into anyone from my school here where I live. So this was exciting. And she was a Christian. I said, look, I'm running a camp this Christmas holidays. Would you come and be part of the team? Because I'm looking for leaders. She goes, yeah, I'd love to be a leader. Can I bring some of her friends? So we had this whole bunch of us were leading on this camp. And as the outflow of this camp, most of us then ended up moving to Melbourne to go to Bible college. And from that, we all married boys that were at Bible college in Melbourne. And from that, her two brothers had also moved to Melbourne. And then eventually her two sisters moved to Melbourne and they got married in Melbourne too. And probably about 10 years ago, her parents moved to Melbourne. So that family testifies as a result of me in the chemist on that day saying, Emma, come on camp. Their whole family has been moved interstate because of me. So often when I see her mum, I see this look in her eye like, I blame you for a lot, actually. But you know what? Their lives are better. Their lives are better because I just reached out and let somebody become part of my story. And now I look and think, wow, the power of one moment and how it threads through other people's stories. My husband, he started a new job And he got the job because he was doing sales. We'd just started our church, and he put in an application for this particular sales job, and the other sales guy helped to select who was going to get the job. So when Richard got the job, he went out to work with Paul, this other guy, and Paul said, look, one of the reasons I've picked you for the job from all the resumes was that your job said you're a priest. And I've got some questions about God, so can I ask some of my questions? Richard's like, okay, this is cool. So there they are driving on the very first day around Melbourne over the Westgate Bridge, which is a big bridge we've got there. And off they go there, and Paul's asking all these questions about God. He'd been brought up religious, he was Greek Orthodox, and he was selling hot goods out of his boot. He was very shifty but very religious. And so the two often go together. But anyway, so he had all these questions to my husband, and that very day he asked Jesus to come into his heart and he became a Christian. He found the answers, the real answers to life that he was looking for. But Richard was happy to tell his story. Richard was happy to answer those questions. You know, that day Paul could have rejected his answers and he might not have had a job. He was still on probation. So having the confidence to tell our story, to be blue belts, to have a blue belt story and tell it. You know what, the woman at the well. Most of us have heard the story from John chapter 4. It was a woman at the well, and Jesus was talking to her. At the end of their conversation, we pick the story up in verse 28 of John 4. It says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. A few verses later, 39 says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's blue belt, because of that woman's testimony, because she told her story. He told me everything I ever did, she said. Verse 42 says, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of your story, just because of what you've told us. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This woman was willing to go back and tell her story to a whole town, to a whole community of people. She was willing to let her story be the tool that would actually transform a whole community. And that's what God wants of us. He wants us to be willing to just share what's happening in our hearts. You know what? I've been struggling lately, you know, or this issue happened, but you know what? I prayed and God answered my prayer, or I felt peace, or you know what? I'm part of a church and it's so good to have a great community around us, and I've got really good support for, you know, this. I got sick and the next thing I know I had 10 dinners at my door, and I can't believe it, the power of being part of a church. Our story, it doesn't have to be all packed special and sound fancy, but just willing to testify of what God has done in our story. Rahab, she was given an opportunity of hope and she shared it. She rescued her whole family from a city that was going to be destroyed because she told her story. Just last week I was in a cafe. A cafe is like my second office, one because I love coffee and two because it's just a great place to catch up with people and meet people. And there was a certain man that I've seen a few times. He's actually a very prominent businessman in our community, in our region of Melbourne, but I didn't know that. And I've seen him a fair bit, and then we went to dinner with some other friends and they introduced us to him. So then I ended up actually meeting him. So then when I saw him in the cafe, I was like, oh, hey, how you going? Nice to see you, Randolph. He's like, oh, hello. And I actually am doing the Read the Bible in a Year this year. That's my challenge. So often I'll get to the cafe 8 o'clock in the morning and I'll sit down and read my Bible, do the reading for the day and take some notes, and then I'll probably meet up with some people or head off to the office. So Randolph, I'm saying hello to most days, and then I go off to my little spot. So about a week ago, he comes across. This guy's classy. This guy, he's up to his fourth wife, I think. He's driving the latest car. He looks fantastic. He's got a gorgeous suit. He's just oozing money, right? So he comes across to me, Helen. Oh, hello, Randolph. How are you today? Nice to see you. Sits down next to me on the seat. He goes, so you're a religious person. I'm like, no, I don't really like, but I think he was saying it nicely, like, wow, you know, I admire you because I can see that you're really, intent on what you believe there. And I was like, yes, yeah. I am religious. You know, I believe, I'm strongly in what I believe and I'm committed to it. He goes, wow, that's, so why do you believe what you believe? I'm thinking, wow. Isn't this what we all want? This is like the ultimate. I'm reading my Bible. This guy's just seen me. And he's asking the questions. I haven't even had to say anything. Well, Randolph, you know what? God's given me peace. And on my journey, you know, I've known in my life that God's there. And, you know, I've had some struggles on the way. Da, da, da. He goes, oh, wow, so you've had a hard life. And I said, look, you know, not bad. But, you know, I was telling my story. And, but trying to keep it compact, you know, this is the ultimate moment. This is the moment we're all waiting for, isn't it? To thread my history into his history. We're going to have repentance right here. He's going to be praying in a minute, asking, oh, let Jesus into my heart. It's going to be so exciting. I'm going to tell everyone at church that this guy ran off, was touched by my... Anyway, so this is it. We're there. And so I told him, he goes, wow, okay, this is very interesting. He goes, you know what? I was raised by the nuns in the mountains of somewhere... in some foreign Himalayas. I'm like, oh my gosh, now I'm interested in his story. I actually don't care. I'm like, I want to stop. Can we talk about you? And which really is one of the best things to do, is actually talk about other people's lives. Anyway, so I said to him, he goes, I actually have peace. I'm actually very happy. Yeah, it's very interesting that what you're saying. But basically, I don't need what you're saying. That's not the answer I wanted. Meanwhile, my staff have all arrived. We're about to have a staff meeting and there's like a whole table now listening to my conversation with Randolph as he shares his heart. And you know what? I tell you that story because it's not always about the result. It's not actually always about, you know, this person came on board with what I thought and, you know, I've got to get the win in. It's just about sharing your story and being honest with people and exposing that, you know what? God's real. God's alive. He's helping me. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to speak to you. He wants to embrace you. And sometimes we're going to put ourselves on a limb and we're going to look stupid. Sometimes we're going to put ourselves out on a limb and something amazing is going to happen. One of the girls at the gym in our church the other day, she went to the gym. She met this girl. She's talking. They just made friends. I think she'd known her about a week. And this other girl says to her, they were chatting. She goes, yeah, my dad left when I was young and I'm just not going to forgive him. I can never have another father figure in my life. And the girl from our church said, oh, you know what? You could wait your whole life and be disappointed. And I don't know whether your dad's ever going to do the right thing. But right now you could know the love of God the Father and he can heal that your heart. She's like, wow, I want that. Can I come to your church? Like, hello, how easy was... So sometimes it happens like that, but we've got to just always be willing to share our story, to open our hearts, to naturally let it come out. Is that good? Tell our story. Wear our blue belt and talk about our blue belt, although I'm wearing a brown one. People love to follow. Jesus has told us to follow him. He said, come, follow, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. We're designed to follow. So people are going to follow you and you are going to follow others. Our story is going to actually be built of people that we're following and people who are following us. And Jesus wants us to come follow him. And you know what? If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have that relationship with him, that's the starting point. To say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want you to come and live in my heart and I want to follow you today. We need Jesus. We need him. We need him to lead us forward. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 15 and 16. He says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have become your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. So Paul understood that we've got Jesus. Jesus has set an example for us. But now that Jesus is outworked in your life and your life and your life, and to be able to say, you know what? I'm living for Jesus. Follow me. To have the confidence and to live a life that you can happily say to others, follow me. Come behind me. I'm going to lead you well. You know what? For some of us, it might just be the mum at school. You know what? I can see you're having some struggles. You know what? Life's tough. Parenting's tough. parenting's huge. It's a big, big thing that we do. And seeing other people maybe struggling with that and saying, hey, let's have a coffee. I'd just love to partner with you. Just want to hang out. Just, you know, you don't have to use strange words. Maybe someone at the gym. Just giving that opportunity to be able to be a leader in someone's life, to put out your story so they can follow you. Reteach what you hear, what you've heard on Sunday. Share it during the week. When you get to work, when you get to the staff meeting, hey, I heard this great thing on Sunday. Da, 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 da. Whatever life principle it is, you don't need to put all the scriptures in, but just share what God is doing in your life. 2 Timothy 2 says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. It's telling us, I'm going to teach you, you teach somebody else, you teach somebody else. Let's be passers on of what God has for us. That's what's going to make history. That's what's going to change our stories. I had a lady, as I was growing, my kids were growing up, we used to get together for like mum's group, and this one lady, her name's Julia, and she's recently come back into my life, and she came up to me and she said, you know what, when your kids were young, we used to all talk about you. I'm like, great. Is that good or bad? I don't know. She goes, yeah, you were so hard on your kids. You were like so strict. And we're like, oh, why is she so strict? But you know what? I can see your kids are really good. And I can see what you've now produced all these years later. And I wish I had done more of what you did. I was like, wow, okay. So people are watching. People are looking. People are talking. Give them something to talk about. That's good, hey? So our story, people are linked to our story. People are watching on the journey. And Isaiah 61:1, as I close, I think sums up what our stories should look like, what should be in all of our stories. If our story is linked to Jesus' heart, which is his story, the theme of today is our story together, my story, our story, and then his story, Jesus. Jesus' plan for the earth, Jesus' connection with all of humanity, every soul on the earth. Jesus' desire is that he would know and have an intimate relationship with every one of us. So if we're involved in his story, then I think our stories will include some of what Isaiah's talking about. Isaiah 61 says this, that the Spirit of the Lord, of the Sovereign Lord, is on me because the Lord has anointed me. That's me. That's you. God's anointed us. God's chosen us to be his carriers of his story. He has anointed me to proclaim good news, to tell my story to the poor. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to help those that life has left damaged and broken, to proclaim freedom, to actually declare what you've been set free from, what you're on the journey of being set free from, the story of your past or your childhood or the damage that God has released you from, that having a hope and love, that's the story that he wants us to share. To release from darkness the prisoners and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to proclaim, to comfort, to release, to help the brokenhearted, to bring freedom. This is what our story should carry. This is what our story is. We help others. It might be looking outside the world that you currently have. Maybe it's just the people you do know. Maybe it's opening up your heart to a bigger world, to live beyond yourself. Don't wait to be perfect. God's called us with our story right now. Your world needs you. You don't have to necessarily go to the council and start a big program. The girl beside you at the supermarket needs you. The lady that you work with, the desk across the petition, she needs you. The guy who's on your sales team, who you can just tell, he's stressed. He's stressed. The other day we had someone installing the air conditioning in our new building. Our church has just bought a building and we're setting up. And I heard this guy on the phone. He was sort of in my same space, and he was talking to his wife, and they were in trouble. She was in distress. She was on the other side of the city, and she was having, obviously, not coping with life. And this guy's trying to work. He's burdened. He's trying to make money and look after his wife. And so I said to one of our guys who was inside painting, I actually sent him a text, because they had been chatting. So I'm like, oh, they got connection. I go, go, come on, tell him your story. And he looked at me like, you're crazy. But I am. But you know what? He then just sort of made connection and talked to this guy a bit more and just, hey, buddy, how are you? Are you okay? You look like, you know, are you all right? Can I do anything? Can I pray for you? You know what? No one has ever said no to that question. Most people are happy for us to just go, you know what? I don't have all the answers, but can I just pray for you? God, help this family. Lord, you know what they need. Bring breakthrough. Help them, Lord. That's it. You don't have to close your eyes. We don't need fancy music. For us to carry our story in a way that can touch the world around us. They might be driving the latest BMW and looking gorgeous, but they need your story. They need Jesus. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked as you share, as you open up, as you say, I'm going to be a history maker. I'm going to be a history maker. I'm going to be somebody who helps change other people's histories, who helps to build culture in other people that actually honors God and brings his blessing. I'm going to do that. But it doesn't take a big project. It's just us living life choice after choice. When we planted our church, you know, I was like, God, what do you want me to do? You know, you were planting a church. You must have big plans for me. You know, like, God, tell me, how do you want me to do it? I just felt, just heard the voice of God say so clearly, just live the life that others can follow. If you just live the life that others can follow, then I'll bring them to you. There's many people desperate for a life that they can follow. And I was thinking it would be much more exciting than that. But my objective is now just to reproduce myself in others. What I'm winning at, let me help you win at. I'm not winning at everything. God hasn't transformed everything. That soul person I was talking about, that character, there's still some stuff in my character that God's working on, that he's changing and transforming. But you know what? There's some things I'm winning on. And I'm going to reproduce that in others. I'm going to share my story. I'm going to help others. And I know that you have experienced that same thing. God's touched your life. God's touching your life. Maybe today is the first day that God's actually touched your life. You have a story to tell already. The story, what you've experienced today, God wants you to share. God wants you to take out of here to your world. Say, you know what? Today, this is what I learned. Let me share it. Let me carry it. Let me look around myself and see who can I empower. You know, this is changing history is about others. It's not just about ourselves. I'm very excited. Who else is excited? We've got to lift our eyes. We've got to look beyond these walls. Church is not about this building. It's not about the people in this room. It's about the people who haven't even walked in the door yet. It's about your friend that you probably haven't even met yet. But God's going to position you to meet them. God's going to connect you to that person so that you can share your story. So you can be the one that creates a new normal that they won't even realize that they've taken on a new culture, a new way of thinking, a new way of living because you just brought it into their world so beautifully, with such grace, with love. And God just transforms their lives. And later you hear testimony of what happened when you breathed, when you came. You may never even hear that story. I can't wait for heaven to hear the stories of the things we've impacted that we never even knew. The conversation we've had, the random meeting that you may have had, that you just, that man, maybe that guy at our, they came to install that air conditioning. Maybe a seed was planted that day that transformed his life. I'll probably never know. I'll never meet him again. But eternity will tell us. What do you think, girls? Are we history makers? Would you stand to your feet? I think this is pretty exciting myself. I think this is not a sad thing. This is a wow, God, come on. Are you ready to come on? Are you ready to step out? Be bold. Come on, team. Take on the world. A little bit of confidence. For some of you, you're like this, like our runner. Is it Holly? Molly? Polly? Holly? This beautiful young girl, Molly. Thank you so much. Yay. Like, some of us are gung-ho. We're ready. Like, yeah, take it on. You're ready to take on the world. Some of you are like, oh, my gosh, this sounds... But you know what? Come on. Come on. Let's be people who are going to take on what God's put in us and pass it out there. Spread it. Be history makers. Be history makers. Let me pray for you. Why don't you raise your hand? If you want to be a history maker, if you're ready, if you're like, God, I get it, I've got to grow, I've got to stretch, you're going to change me. But even before you do all that, and as you do all that, I'm going to get on with it. I'm going to be the person you can use. I'm going to be the person that's going to reach out. I'm going to be the person that's just willing to share my story. Come on, raise your hands. Raise your hands. Father God, look at your daughters, Lord. You love these girls. You are so, so, so excited. Heaven is so excited because, Father God, you know in this room is story after story after story that, Lord God, you're weaving together and that you're going to connect with a community outside of this room. Father God, with a nation, with a state, with a nation, there's international influence in this room, stories that are going to go throughout the earth to give glory to you, Lord God. To spread your word, to breathe life into families, into homes, into businesses. Father God, I just pray for your anointing on this message, that you would just seal it, that you would seal this message in these girls' hearts, that they would not draw back, but they would continue to go forward, Father God, in all that you have for them, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, girls, let's give him a shout of praise, a clap, tell him he's good today.